You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show, LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life. You know, as I start today, I've got this beautiful forest background. I hope you're watching the video. And if you're listening, that's okay too. But this beautiful forest background, so let me tell you the story of how that happened. I'm sitting at a desk I don't normally broadcast from. And the reason isn't even fun. The reason is my main computer, my video computer, my broadcast computer and everything fell apart. My CPU broke. And so I had to take it to the shop. And of course, I didn't know the CPU was bad. I took it to the shop and not knowing, and they tried to load Windows on it and over and over and over again. I kept getting the BSOD, the notorious blue screen of death, right? And then they called me up. And of course, lots of things could be bad. The motherboard could be bad. The memory, you know, there's all kinds of things. And of course, the thing as bad as the CPU, which is the most expensive component. So anyway, it turns out the good news is it's under warranty because it's less than a year old. So Intel is going to send me a new one. The next piece of news is it's going to take a couple weeks because I got to send it to them and they send it back. So what I decided is I was going to move my station, and I have a nice, fairly high-powered laptop in a different part of the room, different studio. So I went to set up there, and that laptop, the background of it is all, you know, pillars and wires and stuff all over because I've got a recording studio down here and a video studio and a coaching studio and some other stuff, and so it doesn't look very attractive. So what I decided to do is I had these vinyl backgrounds, you know, you can buy them on Amazon, and I realized, kind of silly, I realized I had six of them that I hadn't really used, different kinds. One of them's a studio, and there's a couple, this nice forest, and a couple of others. So I've hung them up, and for the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be broadcasting from here, maybe longer. It's funny, when I went to the repair shop, Memory Express, it's called here in Canada, when I went there to pick up the CPU, I asked him if I could leave the computer there because I'm going to have him put it together when it comes back. He said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, I'll be back in a week or so. And he looked at me and he laughed and he said, I'll be surprised if it's that fast. And I thought, oh, dear. So it could be a few weeks. And you know what? I don't care. It works good. I've got a secondary setup and the camera's good and the mic's okay and we're all good. And you know what the most fun part is? I get to be here with you. Because if you're listening to this show, you're here about your ultimate life. You're here to create purpose, prosperity, and joy. And you know, as I sit here doing this on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 1st, I am completely mindful of wars and misery and pain and struggle that are going on around the world right now as we speak. I'm completely aware that in the U.S. at least, now you know I live in Canada, but in the U.S. at least, there's huge arguments about the right way forward and who's right and who's wrong about how to handle a whole range of issues, more contention and struggle. And so you might be thinking, Kellen, how can you possibly talk about purpose, prosperity, and joy when the world is in such turmoil? When there's heartache and heartbreak at every turn, when there's infidelity, betrayal, sadness, cruelty, drugs, people being mean, families that don't talk to each other. How can you even talk about that stuff? And I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how. And I want you to listen seriously because this is not about Pollyanna. This is not about pretending away problems. This is not about ignoring the sadness and struggle that there is. It's about one thing and one thing only. It's about the choice that I make and that you make, that each of us make every day, about who we choose to be as we engage. Like the world is going on as it does, and I can be sad, and I am sad about the pain and misery and suffering and death. Who am I being? Am I being a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power? Or am I being overwhelmed and destroyed by the things going on around me? That is the choice you get to make every day. What I have discovered in my own battle and journey out of decades of depression and struggle, and you've heard the stories, what I've discovered is that I get to choose how I hit the ground running every day. half-assed or all in. I get to pick that. And that's true even if I hurt, even if my face is sore, even if my back hurts, or, and mine does, I got some arthritis and I've been doing some work on that, et cetera, et cetera. And I get to choose who I'm being. So what I want to talk about today is how to create your ultimate life, regardless of the circumstances, how to create purpose, prosperity, and joy, even, even if your circumstances are lousy. And you might think I'm going to say stupid stuff or that I don't understand. I'm not pretending to understand your personal details. What I do know is the ones that I've been through and many, many clients that I have worked with over the years who have struggled with poverty, with disease, with betrayal, with addictions, with pain, with physical hardships, with spiritual destruction, with all kinds of things of different types. And no matter what's going on around you, we get to choose who we are being as we meet those circumstances. The silly example I give a lot is if it snows, and it's going to snow up here pretty soon, probably in the next month, it's October, usually the first snow comes before Halloween, I can meet that first snow with misery and think, winter's here, I'm screwed, it's going to suck for 6 months. Or I can say, hey, I live in Edmonton, it's the frozen north, it's winter, days are short, gets dark early and cool, and have a fabulous day anyway. Now, that's a silly example, but the truth is you can meet every one of life's challenges that way. And here's today, we're going to talk about how to do that. Like, really how. This is nuts and bolts, rubber meets the road, down and dirty, real life, battle-tested, hardcore stuff. You know what the sadness is for me? Most people will hear this stuff that's battle-tested and proven, and you'll brush it off. And you won't apply it. That makes me sad. Not because you're not listening to me. You do what you want. But because you have the opportunity to be happy right in your hands today. And most people won't do the work. Or they won't believe that it's possible. Or they try just for a minute and give up. Nobody got to the Olympic podium without effort. Nobody overcame any hardship without effort. Nobody grew in any substantial way without effort. All right, so here we go. There's a 10, and I love the word 10. Sometimes I use 12 modules or 12 parts. Today we're going to do 10 things. 10 things that will help you, and they're real live things, about how to create a life that you love, or a life that you love a little more than the one you've got. You know, I'm not pretending that we wave a wand. Here's a pen. Okay, I'm going to wave this pen like it's a magic wand, and suddenly bars of gold are delivered on the porch. All my aches and pains disappear. Every relationship in my world is perfect, and the whole thing is rock and roll heaven. Nothing works like that. But you know what? If I can make today 1% better than yesterday, just 1%. In 100 days, I've made it 100% better. It doesn't take very long. And that's for real. All right, so here we go. The reason this is so important to me to share with you, there's two reasons. One, it's my own journey. 17 years ago, I made a radical change. I walked away from everything in my life and started over because I was a drug addict and I was miserable and I had attempted suicide and a failure. So I had to go through this period of metamorphosis of making 1% or a 0.5% improvement a day. And after 1,000 days, I was living a life I couldn't even have dreamed of. Money, purpose, joy, fun. It was just amazing. And I say 1,000 days to get to way better because some days are setbacks. That's part of growth. You know, it's like, look at a tree. The tree rings. When the rings are close together, it was a dry year. But a tree doesn't give up and quit and say, it's a dry year, I quit. So we can't either. All right. So the key is this. If you're going to create a life that you love, purpose, prosperity, and joy are my three words, and you can use them if you want, but if you don't, you pick yours. Pick yours, right? What three words would represent life? Freedom, some people use. Rich, some people use. Happy, healthy, healthy, wealthy, and wise, whatever they are. Mine has purpose in it because I live for a purpose. You know, and you've heard a million times on the show, my purpose is to help 250 million people this year realize that they have that power and they probably aren't using it, or if they are, not very well. Okay. So I'm going to give you some practical things, some spiritual insights, some funny stuff, some stories about stuff that, you know, that work and doesn't work, etc. So if you're going to build a life that's better than the one you have now, and again, you better be thinking of your words. I'm thinking purpose, prosperity, and joy, but you got to think yours. The first thing you got to do is you got to acknowledge where you are. Like I tell this story, if I am actually in Miami, but I pretend that I'm in Denver. So let's say I'm actually in Miami, but I pretend that I'm in Denver. And I say, I want to go to New York, and I'm pretending that I'm in Denver. And so I try to go to New York, pretending that I'm in Denver. So in other words, I go straight east, but I'm actually in Miami. What's going to happen? Well, I'm going to drown somewhere out in the Bermuda Triangle because I was pretending I was somewhere that I wasn't. Now, that's a silly example. I don't think anybody would pretend they were in Denver when they were in Miami. They might. But we do that all the time. When you talk to people, they ask you, you know, if you're doing okay. Yeah, I'm great. Everything's fine. When you're barely hanging on. What good is that? And I'm not saying you vomit all your personal details all over everybody that's standing next to you. But it's most important to admit to yourself. One of the most important things I did when I started my transformation, going from miserable, addicted, broken, and all the rest to purpose, prosperity, and joy, is I had to admit I was busted and needed help. So my Denver was, I'm busted. I have mental illness. I'm depressed all the time. I've just attempted suicide. I flipping need some help. That was part one. Part two is, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to where I want to go. I see that glorious horizon of ultimate life on the horizon, and I'm going there no matter what the effort, no matter what the cost. So that was admit, agree, say you need help. I don't mean admit in terms of bad, but just say, admit, say you need it. To yourself, that's the most important. Where am I really? Am I in Denver or I'm in Miami? If you're trying to make more money, if you're working on the prosperity piece, well, how much do you make right now? What's really in your bank account? What are you really spending your money on? So you got to learn to tell the truth and you have to accept it. Now, here's the key. Drama is not a helpful ingredient here. So that's like putting cayenne pepper in your chocolate chip cookies. If you admit to yourself where you really are, and it's accompanied with a healthy dose of, I'm stupid, I'm wrong, I shouldn't have done this, I should have done this years ago, all you're doing is making your journey much harder. I have a client right now who I dearly love, who said to me recently, I wasted 3 years or 4 years. I wish I'd started this work 3 years ago. That's drama. That's weight and pain you don't need. You are where you are today. Admit it, agree with it, and in fact, fall in love with it. You are where you are. You're exactly where you're supposed to be today. That doesn't mean you got to stay there for even 1 minute. So step one in creating that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy is just acknowledge your current reality, whether it's money, relationship, health. You know, if you're overweight or underweight, if you're eating poorly, if you're not exercising, if you've got some condition or action, if you've got some addiction or compulsion that's not serving you, if you're broke, if you're not doing a good job at work, you know, whatever it is, just acknowledge it, but do it without judgment. So that's step one. Where are you? Now, here's a quote for you. Awareness is the beginning of transformation. You can't change if you don't know where you're at. You can't grow If you're pretending you're in a different city, like my silly example, drowning out in the triangle. All right. Step two, you have to define your ideal life. Now, that's a duh, but you want to know something? I find that to be really hard for people, like really hard. I ask people, well, what do you want you don't have now? First answer, I have more money. More money. I need more money. Okay. Next answer. I need more time. I just don't have time. I'm so busy, I can't do anything. Time and money. You know what? If I showered you with time and money, you wouldn't be happy. And I say that boldly and without question. It happens over and over again. People that win the lottery lose it all and are miserable. People that suddenly don't have anything to do end up doing dumb things, sometimes getting themselves in deep trouble. I'm not going to tell a bunch of stories about that because you know what I'm talking about. You have to be clear about where you're going in your ideal life. Now, there's two reasons for this. If you don't know where you're going, any port in a storm, right? If you don't know where you're going, you have no idea how to steer your boat. I don't know. I just don't want to be here. Okay, that's like the grass is greener syndrome. Everybody else has got it better than me. I don't care where I am. I just don't want to be here. Well, that's okay, except you're going to find that you take yourself with you, and we are the cause of our own suffering. You might be mad at me for saying this, but you are the cause of your own suffering. You, all alone, by yourself, you. That's good news, because that means you can get rid of it right here, right now. You can end your suffering right this minute. We'll talk about how to do that as we go along. So what does your ideal life look like? What time do you get up? What do you do in the morning? I can tell you that exactly. You know why? Because I do it today. I wake up usually a little before 5. I don't usually use an alarm at all. I wake up because that's just when I wake up. I get up, I do some exercises, I meditate, I pray, I do some really sacred work. And if you want to know what it is, there's a book for you called Living with Purpose and Power. Now, I've mentioned that before on here. And if you don't have it yet, I'm just asking you, why not? I can make you a promise. That book will do more to help you create the life you want, if you're willing to work, than anything else you can get. It is the sum of everything I've learned and done in the last 17 years to create the life that I love. Anyway, so I get up around 5. I do some sacred work to create myself for the day. And that takes usually 2 or 3 hours. It includes things like crazy stuff, like an ice bath for 15 minutes and working out and meditation and scriptures and prayer. And it includes sending love messages to clients and other people. It includes reading. I've got like 20 or 30 books I'm in the middle of. Why do I do all that crazy stuff? It's just how I create me, because it makes me into the person that I want to be. So if you don't have an idea of what your ideal life is like, you won't get there. The rest of my day, I spend talking to you. I spend working in the recording studio, which is over there. Making music. I spend writing books. I'm on number 21. I spend coaching clients. I spend sending more messages of love to those that I care about, which is everybody, you. If I had your name and email, I'd send you a message of love. And right now is a good time to invite you to reach out. I'd like to get to know you. What are your dreams? Are you living your ultimate life? And if you're not, what do you think's in the way? And do you even know what that would look like really specifically? What I've discovered in my journey creating it is that the more specific I am, the easier it is to get. I don't care how big it is. The house, the car, whatever, the more specific. This many square feet on this much land, overlooking a park or the ocean or whatever, the more specific you are about your goals, the easier they are to achieve, because goals are partly energetic. When we focus our attention on something, we start taking the action to create it. Write down your goals. Write down them. Visualize them. Create a vision board. And do it in every area. Your relationship, your romantic, your family relationship, the work that you do, how much money you have, your spiritual life, your health, everything. Write it down in glaring, beautiful detail. So cool that every time you read it, you wet your pants. You're so excited. It's so much fun to read and lean into it and live it, right? Okay, so that's part two. Here's the little quote for you. Here's the power of your intention cannot be measured. And I'm not suggesting, people talk about the law of attraction, I'm not saying that if you sit in your living room and picture $1 billion that it's going to show up. There's action involved. But here's what I am saying. When you sit and picture something, it drives you. You get up and do stuff. And the clearer and more detailed your vision is, the more powerful it is and the more stuff you do. If you want another studio, if you want to grow your business, if you want a certain client, think about them. Find out. Figure out what to do to get acquainted with them, to reach out. All right, number three, you need a why. You need a why. Now, when you're overworked, like some people are, maybe you are, maybe I am sometimes, when we're overworked, our why might be as simple as I need a flipping vacation. I got to just have some time off. And then when we get home, I need a vacation from my vacation, right? All right, when you get all that out of the way and you're done and you're not tired anymore, like, why do you want to create this life? And you might think that's silly because it's fun because I can have anything I want and I can do anything I want. And I can go wherever I want. And I can promise you that joy is short-lived. Because it makes me feel good because I can buy what I want because I can go where I want, do whatever. That isn't fulfilling for very long. I rode that roller coaster, and the more I accumulated, and the more I bought, and the more I had, I was happy for a few minutes, and then there was the next thing, and the next thing, and then you realize, when you add another zero to your income, every problem and struggle you have just adds a zero. You are the same person. So, I give you an example. My why is through my own journey of the last years of transformation, I have learned that I love people. I love you. I say that a lot on here. I do. I love you. You're great. You're wonderful. You're a divine being. We knew each other before we came here. You have gifts. You have talents. I'd love to see what they are. And I mean that with all my heart. And I didn't used to be that way. I'm not some nutcase. That has come up in me as I have developed my why, which is to help you realize you can really create the life you want. You don't have to stay stuck where you're at. Not with health, wealth, or anything else. You don't have to stay stuck. But if you don't have a reason, it's hard to do. So my purpose is to love, create, and serve. Love you as you are in this moment. Create space for imagination to blossom and creativity to explode. Serve you fearlessly and in your highest and best interest. Those are my reasons. What are yours? I want to create a life of abounded wealth, more wealth. I already have money. I want more and more and more. Not because I want to go do something. I want to have a bigger reach. I want to be able to reach more people. More message, more opportunity. But that's my why. If you can't articulate why you want it, and when you say it, it doesn't sound energizing and fun, it won't work. So creating your why has to be an exercise in what's really important to you. And you know what gives me faith in humanity and that I really love? When I talk to people, most people, by far the majority, when I ask them their why about life, they say, I love helping people. I love doing stuff. I love that feeling that comes from helping people. People just say that all the time. And that is such a beautiful thing. And you know what I've learned? It's our nature. We're made by God. We're made to do good, be good, help, lift, bless, love. We may have unlearned that through some sad experiences, and I know there's all kinds of ugly crap going on in the world. But every person is made by the same God with a desire to help, love, and serve. And that's true even if we've been derailed along the way. I certainly was for many years. All right. So There's a book that I can refer you to, two of them. One of them I mentioned already, Living with Purpose and Power. It's on Amazon. Look it up. Another one is the Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And he wrote that about his stay in a concentration camp during World War II. And he concluded that even in the midst of such terrible things, you can still be happy. So there's another good belief. A fourth thing that you can do right now, start today for your 1%, is check your mindset. Like, what kind of beliefs are keeping you stuck where you are? I'll share some of mine. I used to believe I'm not good enough. I don't deserve really to be happy. I've made too many mistakes. I've hurt too many people. I've done too many selfish, stupid, wrong, ugly things. I don't deserve it. Another companion is, it's too late. Even if I've changed completely who I am, and I'm not doing any silly things anymore, I'm trying the best I can, consciously and intentionally every day, it's too flippin' late anyway. Too much water under the bridge, right? Or another one is, yeah, some people are blessed with that, you know, that good fortune, but it's not me. Anybody but me. I'm not good enough. It's too late. Anybody but me. All that kind of stuff. I don't know. Does any of that resonate with you? Sure did with me. I mean, that was my life. All of my validation had to come from external sources because I didn't believe I was anything. You know what's fun? None of that's true. It's BS. You're a divine child of God. You're infinite in value, even if you've made a shit ton of mistakes. That's okay. Start today and move in the direction you want to. Boldly and confidently move in the direction of your dreams. Even if you make a tenth of a percent of progress, in 1,000 days, you're at 100%. 1,000 days is barely 3 years. So you can live the next 3 years and be the same as you are now, just exactly like the last three. Or in 3 years, 1,000 days, you can be 100% better. Your choice. Days are going by either way. So that mindset game, at least for me, was a monster barrier. All those beliefs got in my way badly. Here's another piece of that, and that is your beliefs shape your reality. So, for example, if I hear a sound in my house, and I have a belief that that's danger, that somebody's breaking a window and breaking in and going to kill me, then I experience fear. If, on the other hand, I hear the same sound and I say, oh, that's the dog knocking over a book, I don't experience fear. So my reality, the chemistry in my body was caused by the belief I had about the sound. I realize a book falling and a window breaking don't sound the same, but you get the point. A thing happens. It's just a thing happening. What I believe about that thing is what causes my feeling. So that's a truth that's so powerful, it's almost like it's invincibly powerful. Your beliefs shape your reality. So if I sit around or you do and believe, I can't do this, it's too late, I'm screwed, it's over, then you're right. 100% of the time, every time. Here is an actionable step right now. I told you I'd give you some actionable steps. Your actionable step right now is to check what your beliefs are. What do you actually believe? Like, I ask you to define your ultimate life, exactly what it is. Purpose, prosperity, and joy, helping 250 million people discover their power and all that stuff. That's mine. I'm really clear about it. If you have defined that, what that dream life would look like, what do you believe about it? If your beliefs start with, well, only if I'm lucky, well, if everybody cooperates, well, if this crap would get out of the way, well, if only this, if only that, you're creating problems. And so working on those beliefs is first. That's one of the most valuable things I found with coaching. I am a coach now, and that's something I've become in the last 17 years after my other career. And what I've discovered is beliefs are not, they're not permanent. They're beliefs, and they last as long as I let them. As soon as I challenge them, I examine them. I look at other possible beliefs. They're changeable. Beliefs are not etched in stone unless we let them be. So if you think about creating that life of your dreams and you say, what do I believe about that? I believe it's for others. I believe it's BS. Well, let's get to work. Again, I invite you to talk. I invite you to read Living with Purpose and Power. Or you can say, it's wrong. I can't do it. It's impossible. And you know what? You're right. You're done. Again, you're the sovereign, the unquestioned ruler of your own life. So act like it, you know? Grab that steering wheel and make the car go where you want it to. The next thing I want to do is for actionable stuff is like do stuff. Do stuff. When you, and I'll get elaborate a little bit more, but if you're where you are and you look at your bank account or your relationship or your weight or, you know, anything in your life, some, you know, compulsive behavior or addiction or other things that you have, and you say, I'm screwed, I'll never do this. You're right. And one of the things that makes it really hard to do is the idea that everything has to change all at once and it has to be forever. When you're in rehab, you know, a place I'm familiar with, one of the things that they say at the end of every meeting, like 12-step meetings and similar meetings, is the people in the meeting will, on the way out, they'll, you know, high five or shake hands or something and say, here's to another 24. And what they're saying is, obviously, another 24 hours sober, not acting out with whatever their drug of choice or action of choice is. And the reason they say that, I said it, the reason you say that is because the idea of getting rid of something forever all at once right now is always scary and hard. But if you say, I can do this for one day, you know, yeah, I have the urge to, you know, use whatever it is or to act in some particular way, if it's anger or sex addiction or drugs or whatever. I have this urge, but this is not today. That is powerful. So the tool is set small, small goals, ones you know you can achieve. And maybe a day is too long. Maybe it's an hour. Maybe it's a minute. Set micro goals. Now, some people use the acronym SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Specific, so you have to know when it's done. Measurable, I mean, I have to measure it. I'm going to lose a half a pound this week or a pound this week or 2 pounds. Achievable, you don't jump in and say, I'm going to lose 50 pounds by tomorrow. Got to be something that's doable based on, you know, research. And relevant, it has to matter in the context of your overall goal. And time bound, this week, I'm going to lose 2 pounds. I'm going to release, shed 2 pounds this week. That is specific. It is certainly measurable. It's achievable. That's a reasonable amount of weight to lose in a week. It's realistic and it's time bound. So that's an example of a goal, a simple one. And you can use other frameworks, but that's one that helps you stay on track and not set silly things. Remember, we're only trying to get 1% growth a day. 1% growth a day. The next one is one of my all-time favorites, and that is develop a daily spiritual practice. What does that mean? Well, I'm not talking about going to church every day. I'm not even talking about any organized church at all. A spiritual practice is for you and me to slow down and tell the truth about the fact that we know there is a higher power. We know there's something bigger, larger, more powerful than we are. And it isn't the government. We just know that intuitively. Our inclination is to reach upward when we feel some kind of yearning. It's built into all of us across every culture in the whole world. If you develop a spiritual practice, what does that mean? Well, it can be anything. It can be sacred literature, prayer, meditation, journaling, reflection, whatever. But it has to have a purpose. So sitting quietly and saying Om for 10 minutes is useless unless you have a purpose. So what would the purpose be? Well, I can share with you what mine is. When I meditate or I sit quietly in still reflection, I'm not only trying to calm the monkey mind, you know, thinking about all the things, bills to pay, things to do, podcasts to do, LA Talk Radio's tonight, this client, that client, all the stuff. It's calm that down. Everything will be done in its proper order at the right time. And that takes practice. Calm down. Slow down. The first part is just physically. Some people can't even sit still for 5 minutes, so that would be the place to start. Learn to sit absolutely still for just 5 minutes. And then learn to quiet your mind a little bit at a time. The way you do that is when thoughts are going, just let them go. Let them go out of your head. Let them go like clouds floating by. Don't think about them. Don't dwell on them. At first, it's difficult, but pretty soon you'll realize that thoughts are just thoughts and you don't have to own them. You can just let them go. You don't have to get involved in them or argue with them or have some drama about them. Just let them go. What I promise you is if you practice, you'll find that you can calm your body, slow down your heart rate, lower your blood pressure, empty your mind, and get a sense of peace. You can do that. I don't care if you haven't done it before, if you've tried it and you go, people say to me all the time, oh, I can't do that. I'm just too busy. I'm too fidgety. I'm just... Well, that's true right now. But there's nobody that can't learn breathing and meditation. Now, why would you learn that? So this is in the context of your daily spiritual practice. Here's what happens. When you slow down physically and then mentally, you become spiritually connected to that higher plane that we all know is there that we mostly ignore. Intuition, inspiration, ideas, focus, power, they come to you when you slow down, when you intentionally learn to calm and connect. Why is that valuable? Well, I can only tell you my experience. Inspiration, calmness, assurance, ideas, money, success, and power have all come to me specifically from learning to calm down, get quiet, and connect with the higher self, the divine, with God. So I never skip that. I wouldn't. It's like saying, well, I know there's $1 million over there, but I'm not going to pick it up. There's $1 million over there. It's worth an infinite amount of money, peace of mind, calmness, calm in the storm, quietude, gets rid of anxiety, ulcers, all kinds of stuff, blood pressure problems. The list is long. Read up. Learning to meditate, get quiet, and connect with the divine is powerful. Do it every day. I have a morning routine, 2.5 hours. You know that. I've described it in detail. Other times, and if you want more about it, again, that book, Living with Purpose and Power, read it. Best book there is on creating this stuff. Gratitude practices. There's all kinds of ways to do this, and you need to find the one that works for you. Don't just do one to do it. You need to find one that makes you feel joyful and powerful. All right, another piece of this. These are all steps you can do today. Now, that morning routine, you can start right now. You can start in the morning. You can start create an evening routine. I know someone that says they have trouble going to bed and what they're thinking about it on their mind all night. Then relax fully and completely. Turn off the TV. Take your last half hour, 15 minutes. Just breathe, follow your breath, calm your heart, right? Now, I'm going to stop here for a second and say, now I've said a bunch of stuff, and you've mostly heard this before. How many of them are you doing? Every day on a regular basis, not once a month or once a week. They will work, and they'll change your life. And they'll help you be happy and make more money and have better relationships and all the dream stuff you want, but only if you do them. All right. The next one is look at your surroundings. If you watch the news all the time, the news people, doesn't matter which side of the political spectrum you're on, the news media lives on sensationalism. Sensationalism lives when you make every situation seem as terrible as it can possibly seem. So they dwell on negativity, on struggle, on conflict, on anger, and we have plenty of that that's real in the world with wars going on. But even regular stories. So surround, like clean up your environment. If you live in the mud, you're going to get dirty. If you live in negativity, it's going to eat your lunch. That's just a fact. So take the time to look. What do you read? What do you listen to? What kind of movies do you watch? What kind of conversation do you have? Who do you hang out with? What do you talk about? If you fill your life with poison, with negativity, with anger, and with frustration, it will kill you. There's a book you can read called Anger Kills. And I can't remember the name of the doctor that wrote it, but he did a long study about people who lived angry or frustrated a lot, and they lived about 10 years shorter. So if you're trying to commit suicide 10 years early, die 10 years sooner than you might, then be angry. Ignore what I just told you. If you'd like to live 10 years longer, clean up your anger, clean up your language, clean up your environment, clean up your media, clean up your input, clean up how you talk to people, and especially how you talk to yourself. Add 10 years to your life. The spiritual part of this is that like attracts like. So if I live in anger, I attract angry people. If I live in love, I attract loving people. I can tell you that that's true. The people that I attract into my life are completely different today than they were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, because I was living differently. The next thing is thinking about how we deal with challenges. I was talking to two different clients today about particular challenges they're having in their life and their business. They didn't ask for them. They're difficult. They're real. They're struggles. How I look, and this goes way back to what we talked about at the beginning, how I show up in life is what matters. If I look at a challenge, it doesn't matter if it's physical or financial or anything, and I get angry and frustrated and I yell at whatever caused it, God, the universe, the economy, electric vehicles, the politics, whatever. If I get upset and I deal with it that way, I'm stupid. I lose creativity. My mind doesn't work as well, and I can't solve it as well. If, on the other hand, I look at that and I ask the question, wow, this is not what I wanted. What can I build? What awesomeness can I build with this? You're more creative, and you will be better and happier. That's just the way it is. And study after study reveals that. So you're free to choose, and so am I. A challenge comes, if I get angry, I get stupid, and I'm not creative. If a challenge comes and I say, wow, this is not what I wanted, what am I going to do here? How can I create awesomeness with this? And I go at it with creativity and positivity, I'll solve it faster and better. Embrace every challenge as an opportunity, a curiosity, an opportunity for growth. Because it is. Like, this is not pretending. Everything that's not like you want is an opportunity for growth. All right. The spiritual teaching, the way to say that is life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. The meaning of that is obvious. If I look at things that happen and say, look what you did to me, you made me sad, you made me this, you made me that. If I say, wow, this happened, how can I create from this? What is the gift here? Then I grow. I create the opportunity to grow. And then I realize a truth, an eternal spiritual truth of the universe, that everything happens for a good purpose. I can create something good out of this just because I can. Okay, another piece is our innate desire to love and serve. So my business plan is I look for people to love, opportunities to serve, and problems to solve. And clients for my business come in abundance. So So I don't have to go look for them. I don't prospect. I don't do that. I do go look for people to love, opportunities to serve, and problems to solve. And because as a coach, I've gotten real good at that, I find people who are overjoyed getting help and served, and many will then say, wow, can we do this more? And if we're working on something significant that means some good cash to them, it's easy to get clients, people that will enroll and pay me because they're getting a return that's huge based on the investment they're making. This is one of the reasons that purpose is one of my words, purpose, prosperity, and joy, because we are driven most effectively by love. We are best in our best behavior as humans when we're in service. I want you to think about, we've had this terrible hurricane, in addition to the wars that are going on in the U.S. right now. People are busting their butts to serve, to give, to, you know, and I'm not picking on anyone particular, and I'm not saying everyone's perfect, because they're not. But there are organizations that are falling all over themselves, and every time when one of these disasters happened, whether it's an earthquake or flood or anything else, the stories that come out of selfless, loving service are just amazing. They warm the heart, and they make us feel good. Well, go be that. If you can't go do in the hurricane, serve in the food bank, serve in the soup kitchen, serve in your church, serve in your community, serve in the PTA, serve in the Boy Scouts, serve in some way. Get out of your own self. Get out of your way. Get out, you know, your own preoccupation. Go be in service if you want happiness. And again, this whole thing is about creating your ultimate life. The last thing I wanted to mention, I wanted to have 10, and this is number 10, and that is, love yourself. Celebrate and love yourself. Because I just gave you a whole bunch of things and it's like, yeah, nobody can do all that. And you know what? You're right. So celebrate every little achievement. Remember we said we're only trying to do 1%. So pick 1% improvement and pat yourself on the back. Look what I did today. 1% better than yesterday. What 1% can I add tomorrow? Celebrate your accomplishments. And when you fail or fall down, that's okay. Get up, fess up, clean it up, recommit. That's one of my personal truth document statements. Now, you've heard me talk about PTAC before, and I don't have time to do that today. But one of my statements is, I am that when I fall or fail in any of my declarations, I get up, fess up, clean it up, and recommit. And I have compassion on myself. You and I, we're humans. We fail, we fall. So get up, clean it up, recommit. Recommit to love, to service, to prosperity. So here's what I know. That's the end of the list of 10 things. Here's what I know. Compassion. That's the love that you and I have for each other. That is a force that is more than anything. Love conquers all is the phrase. The worlds, the universes are held together by love. When we are in love and service, we are at our best. When we are in hate and bitterness and war, we are at our worst. We can't control the actions of others, but we can control what we do. And I invite you in your environment, as I invite myself every day, to be in love and service. Choose to be grateful for what you have instead of bitch about what you don't. That's a choice. Choose to love instead of find fault. I invite you to do three things. One, I invite you to go to, I'll give you a URL, KellenFlukigerMedia.com. KellenFlukigerMedia.com. Just my name, media.com. It'll tell you all about books that I have that might be helpful to you. It'll show you how to get to where the podcasts are that might be of help to you. It'll show you how to get a hold of me if you'd like to. My invitation to you is to love yourself. My invitation is to serve others. My invitation is, if you think that there's some way I can serve you, reach out to me. I won't know that unless you do that. Kellen Flukiger Media has some contact information. KellenFlukigerMedia.com. Books, podcasts, contact information. I invite you to allow me the privilege of loving you and serving you in any way that I can. I have a podcast by the same name, Your Ultimate Life. I just talked to one of the guests that's going to be on in a couple of weeks today. A magic person, lives in on Vancouver Island, where Joy and I are going to move in a year. He's an amazing man. I can't wait to have him as a guest. And he's all about service. If you have a message, if your life has been one of challenge and resilience, of struggling and then overcoming, and you have a message you want to share, I'd like to feature you either here as a guest or on the podcast, or both. But I won't know that unless you reach out to me. meetwithkellen@gmail.com. meetwithkellen@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your story and see if it makes sense to have you as a guest. I want to spread your good news, your challenges, your overcoming, your message to the world. I honor every good thing that you're doing, and I want to reiterate what I said from the beginning. There is no one that can keep you from being happy. There is no one that can keep you miserable. There's no one that can keep you from having purpose, prosperity, and joy, or whatever your three words are that you picked at the beginning. That's eternal truth. You can argue with me if you want, and all it'll do is keep you miserable. So if you want, I've given you 10 different things that you can do today. You can take an action on today, not some airy-fairy time in the future, that will move you 1% closer to joy, to financial freedom, to relationship success, to health, wealth, and wisdom, healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? You can have whatever you want, but you do have to walk the road, climb the mountain, you know, do the push-ups, whatever it is. Nobody's going to do them for you. But the good news is it's 100% in your hands. Mine's 100% in my hands. And no one can keep you from having your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.